I ask you to turn with me this morning to 1 Samuel and chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're going to read this chapter, but just before we do so, we're going to just bow again in a wee moment of prayer and ask God's blessing to be upon us. That last piece that we were singing, of course, it forms part of our worship here in God's house today. But it's much more than that. It's also a prayer, and I hopefully, you know, as we've been singing it, we've been singing it in that way. As we come here to look at these verses and as we come to think about them together, hopefully it is our prayer. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. Or even as the verse 3 says, speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. I trust today that each one of us, just as we come now to think on these verses, that we'll approach them in that way. Let us pray individually and personally that God will use his word to bless each of us today. Heavenly Father, we come before you again. We thank you for opportunity that we have to gather in your house. We thank you for opportunity that we have to worship and to praise the holy name of the one who has created us, the one who has saved us, and the one who sustains us day after day. But Father, we are conscious that in this particular part of our meeting together, we're coming to focus on your word. And even as we have been chatting and talking with the boys and girls, we have been reminded of the fact that the natural heart of man is dull to the things of God. We are conscious that if we are to get the benefit intended from the scriptures that are in front of us, we need the Holy Spirit to come and to open up our minds and to open up our hearts. Father, I'm conscious today that I'm only a messenger. I'm only a sinner saved by grace who is trying in some small way to explain the verses as you have opened them up to me. And because of that, I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit to take me, to empower me, to strengthen me, to fill me. And so we're asking that each one of us will know what it is to have the blessing of God upon us here. And Father, we pray that when it comes that point where we leave the service, we ask that through what we have studied together, our hearts will have been touched, our lives will have been changed, because if that isn't the case, we might as well not have bothered. And so we're looking to you to make this time a beneficial time, a time that is profitable. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10, but just to get the context, let us pull in the last verse of chapter 9. It says, as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Chapter 10, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines.
And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw, that behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, "What is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And one of the same place answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. Down to verse 17 it says, "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said nay unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken. And Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, "Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff." They ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among the people." All the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, wrote it in a book, laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. I wonder how this past week has been for you. Has it been a busy week? Hands up if you've had a busy week this past week. Well, there's one or two that have had a busy week. A lot of others not so sure. Maybe they're still on their Easter holidays. But, you know, for many of us, life's extremely busy. I can remember one time being on a course with Invest NI, and one of the modules of the course was time management. And the guy, he kicked things off by showing us like a 15-minute DVD presentation of how to manage your time. And at the end of the DVD, he asked the question, he says, "What do you think so far?" Well, I thought about it for a second or two, and I said to him, "Well, it's like this. I said, I have a van, it comfortably holds 120 boxes. If I pack them in very carefully, I can put in 130. But if you give me 160, it doesn't matter how many times you twist and turn them, you're never going to fit them all in." Well, he said, "I see I'm on a hiding to nothing here, so waste of time with you." But, like, you know, isn't that how life is? So often, there's so many boxes that we have to get packed in, so many things that we need to get squeezed into the hours that we have. And, you know, before we realize that a day has passed by, a week has passed by, And time seems so precious and time seems so short. And we don't have enough time to do all the things that we did. All of us are extremely busy. The words of the opening song that we had in our service today, I'm sure that they were also penned by a guy who was extremely busy. That guy was an ordained pastor. He was also involved very heavily in music ministry. He was a songwriter. He traveled across many different continents doing his work for the Lord. And when he wrote that hymn, Be Still, I'm sure that he appreciated it from a personal point of view. The need for him as an individual to set aside his busyness and to be still and to come into the presence of the Lord. And of course, while it is the words of a song, it's much more than just the sentiment of some songwriter looking to come off with a new song. Because the whole concept of being still, taking the time to stop every now and again, is a concept that is seen throughout the Scriptures. Most of us will be familiar with Psalm 46 and verse 10. And there God is speaking in the psalm and he exhorts the psalmist to be still and to know that he is God. He is looking the psalmist to stand still and to contemplate the greatness of God. Another reference, 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. There was a battle taking place amongst the children of Israel. An enemy had come up against them. And God turned round to the people and he said to them, you won't need to fight in this battle, he says, but stand still and see the hand of God. Most of us will know and love the story of Ruth. And there she was, and she was trying to determine whether or not Boaz was going to be the love of her life. And what was the advice that was given to her? The advice was to stand still and to discover the will of God. Stand still, or to sit still, and to see how the matter would turn out. Stand still and contemplate God's greatness. Stand still and absorb God's hand. Sit still and discover God's will. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 27, we are to stand still. What for? To hear God's word. Stand still to hear God's word. Some of you may remember the last time I was speaking here on a Sunday morning, we looked at this verse. We looked at the background, the events that led up to it. We also took the time to realize that if you and I are going to hear God speak in a real, in a personal, in a definite way, then just as Saul had to stand still and to send the servant on, so you and I are going to have to put the distractions out of our life. Take time on a regular basis to set aside those things that occupy us the rest of the week, the rest of the day, to be still, to be silent, and to hear God speak to us in our lives. I wonder, are we doing that? Or has it got to the point that our lives are so crowded and so busy that the standing still is almost squeezed out? But what I want to do this morning is this. I want to develop it a wee bit further. And now in verse 27, that Samuel actually has stood still. Now that he's ready to hear the word of God, I want us to look into chapter 10. And I want us to see exactly what it is that God had to say to Samuel. Or sorry, to Saul. And when you look into the verses that we have read together, you will see that what God wanted to say to Saul, it was really direct, it was very personal, it was very, very specific. I did count it. I can't quite remember, but I think in the opening 10 verses, you have the word thee or the word thou 22 or 23 times. This is a message that is so direct, so specific for this man, Saul. What I want to do with you this morning is just to look at some of those wee phrases and to see what God was saying to Saul at that time and to ask ourselves the question, is God saying the same thing to us? Look with me at verse number 1, and you'll have the first of these phrases. You see, sometimes we can read Bible stories and we can almost put the figures into it as superheroes. But here's this young lad, Saul, and all of a sudden he has been thrust into the limelight. Samuel and him are having a conversation. And so there he is. He's wondering what's going to come. Samuel has with him a vial of oil. And he lifts the vial of oil and he smashes it and he pours the oil over the head of the young fella. And he must be standing there wondering, what's going on here? What's coming next? But then in verse 1, Samuel explains to him. He says to him, Saul, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And that's the wee phrase I want us to think about for a moment or two. The Lord hath anointed thee. He is saying to this young man, Saul, he says, listen, the Lord has chosen you. He says the Lord has a very specific, he has a very definite job for you to do. I don't know. I can imagine that Saul's standing there and he's saying to himself, what on earth is going on? And one of the first questions probably he had, maybe he didn't vocalize it, but certainly in his mind he was thinking to himself, why me? Why me? You know, in his eyes, he was only a farmer's son. And in his eyes, up until now, he had been looking after livestock. And now this man's coming to him and he says, listen, the Lord has anointed you. The Lord has a special job for you to do. But you see, the wise weren't up to Saul. The simple fact was this, that God, for reasons known best to himself, God in his perfect plan and God in his perfect purpose had decided that there was a job, there was a role that needed to be filled, and Saul was the man to do it. Child of God, let me suggest to you this morning that God has a job for every one of us who are saved. What did the hymn writer, how did he put it? There's a work for Jesus. None but you can do. I wonder, have we realized that this morning? There's a group goes about singing, I think they're from Fermanagh direction or maybe across the border. They go under the name of Saved and Serving. And I wonder if we looked into our own hearts and were honest, could we put that title over our lives? Maybe it would be saved and question mark, question mark, question mark. Saved and sitting. Saved and stopped. Listen, every one of us who are saved, the Lord has a job for us. The Lord has a role for us. Have we realized that? And more importantly, have we stepped forward? Are we fulfilling the role that God has for us? Because you see, as you read on down the chapter, you come to something very, very interesting. Because when we read down towards chapter 10, you see the process starts to elect the one who is going to be king. And the lot falls on this man, Saul. But yet when we come to verse 21, here's the man that God has chosen. Here's the man that God has commissioned, and yet it says he could not be found. I wonder, is that true of us? There's something God wants us to do. There's a role that he wants us to fulfill, and yet our place is empty. We can't be found. Why could he not be found? Well, look at verse number 22. It says, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. The reason he wasn't fulfilling his role was because he had hid himself among the stuff. The word there that's used for stuff, I'm told, is a very interesting word. It refers to implements, weapons, carriages, furniture. All very legitimate things. Things that the nation of Israel, when they had come together to that point, things that they had brought with them. Legitimate things that they needed for their everyday living. But Saul, had chosen to hide behind the stuff. Child of God, let's be honest this morning. Is it possible that when it comes to the work of God, that we are hiding behind the stuff? You know, maybe it's practical stuff. Maybe it's physical stuff. As we've already indicated, our lives can be so busy, so crammed with all of the things that we have to do every day, that there just simply isn't enough time left for the work of God. And we're hiding behind the practical stuff. Maybe it's mental stuff, or maybe it's emotional stuff. Why did Saul not come forward? Maybe he was afraid. Maybe the job that was set in front of him, it was just overwhelming to him. Maybe he didn't think that he was worthy, and he was scared, and he was timid, and he was fearful. But you see, the point was, God had said, Saul, despite how you're feeling, that's the job I want you to do. But he was hiding behind the stuff. Listen, and I say this very carefully, we can also hide behind spiritual stuff. You know, it's good to be in attendance at the service. It's right and proper that we come and we support the midweek meeting and all of these things. But listen, we have got to realize that attending meetings is not necessarily a mark of spirituality. Further down, Samuel told Saul that his first priority was obedience. And you see, we can hide behind the spiritual stuff. We can come to all the meetings. Listen, Saul was at the meetings. He heard God speak. He heard the call for work. He knew that there was a job for him to do. This was a proud moment in the history of the nation of Israel. There was a work for him to do. He was at the meeting. He heard the call. And yet he hid behind the stuff. And sometimes we can come to meetings, we can attend the services, and we can fall into the trap of thinking that we have done our bit and we hide behind the stuff. Let me make it real to us here in Lurgan Baptist this morning. Are there tasks that aren't being fulfilled in this congregation? Because you and I are hiding behind the stuff. You know, I was thinking about how I could apply it. And I was thinking to myself, you know, every department of the church could say, apply it in our direction. You know, the Sunday school could say, oh, apply it to us. We need workers. Please tell them not to hide behind the stuff and come help us. The Good News Club could do the same. We could apply it to so many departments. But the more I thought about it, and I suppose maybe the reason I feel comfortable doing it is because it applies to myself as much as anyone else. Let's think, for example, of the diaconate of the church here. A church of over 300 people in attendance on the Lord's Day morning. And we have only a handful of names prepared to go forward to take up the role. And as I say, I'm as guilty as any. I took my name off the list. I had my reasons, or what I thought were my reasons. I'm busy at this, I'm busy at that. But is the truth of the matter really that maybe just I, like everyone else, were guilty on circumstances of hiding behind the stuff? And is it time for us, maybe in the work of God, to examine, has God given us a role to do? And are we fulfilling it? Or are we hiding behind the stuff? Let me move on, because I suppose a lot of what we've said about Saul here seems a bit negative. But you see, Saul came good for a period of time. And in the closing part of the chapter, he comes out from behind the stuff. And he starts to fulfill the role that he's fulfilled. And I want just to draw your attention, and I do this to encourage those who are involved in the work and those that are stepping up to the plate. In verse 26 and verse 27, we read a couple of strange verses. It says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, 'How shall this man save us?' And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace." You know, there's any number of things we could take out of those verses. We could look at verse 26 and we could say, listen, it's good for a man who is starting to go on with God to surround himself with godly friends. Good for a young person who's trying to go through with God to surround themselves with godly companions. We could look at verse 27 and we could see the folly of those who opposed Saul. Now, maybe it was partly Saul's own fault. You know, he was the guy that made the mistake, and he was the guy that hid among the stuff, and because of that he weakened his position, and because of that he gave them room to criticize him. But these men came with a wrong attitude because they weren't opposing Saul, they were opposing the Lord. They were opposing the Lord's appointment. But listen, the thing I want to take out of it is this. The reaction of Saul. He held his peace. Why did he hold his peace? Because it suddenly dawned on him, listen, God has given me a job to do. And yes, in this role, I'm going to have problems and I'm going to have difficulties. But I've got to get beyond that. He held his peace. If you read the literal translation of the thing, it really says he pretended that he didn't hear. Or it was as if he were deaf. Yes, he heard the words. But because the Lord had anointed him, because the Lord had given him a job to do, that had to be his priority. Child of God, I would say to you here today, maybe you're involved in the heart of the work. Maybe you've got a difficulty this morning that no one else knows about, that no one else understands. Maybe there's a problem in the particular department that you're working in. And it's so easy to focus upon that problem. So easy to focus upon the hurt that has been delivered to you. So easy to focus on that which is negative and that which would deter you. But listen, we have got to remember that if the Lord has anointed us, if the Lord has given us a job to do, we can't hide behind the stuff. We must get on with the work. Listen, our time is slipping very, very quickly. Verse 1, the phrase was, "The Lord hath anointed thee." Verse 2, the phrase is, "Thou shalt find." I'm not even going to take the time to look at it. But just let me say in passing, you would almost think that verse 2 is incidental. You'd almost wonder why it was put in there. But if you read verse 2 carefully, you will discover that God put it there for Saul's benefit. He wanted Saul to come to the point where he realized the greatness of God's power, where he came to the point where he realized that he could depend on God's word. That God's word was current, it was relevant, it was specific, it was personal, it was up to date. Listen, child of God, again, as we seek to move forward in our Christian life and as we seek to engage in the work of God, those are the two things more than anything else that we will need to depend upon. The fact that God is great, that his power is at our disposal, and that his word is dependable for us to move forward on. But then let me come very quickly to verse 3. Because there's a phrase there that I want you to really think upon, to draw your attention to. It's verse 3, he says to Saul, "Then shalt thou go on forward." Then shalt thou go on forward. You see, Samuel was explaining to Saul, listen, he says, when you get to that point where you meet those men, he says, that's not the stopping place. That's only the starting place. He says, you need to go on forward. You need to make progress. You know, I was thinking about this. I thought that in every avenue of life, we are expected to make progress. In every avenue of life, we have targets, we have markers by which our progress is monitored. I was watching yesterday morning just across from us, they were building a house and they were putting on bricks, just a little brick at a time. And, you know, progress looked slow, but when you looked out a couple of hours later, the gable peak was up to its height. Progress was there. Progress was visible. Every day of my life when I go out to work, I want to make progress. When I come home in the afternoon, I print off a printout of what I have done. I want to look at my sales figures. I want to look at how much profit. I want to see, have I made progress? Every aspect of our lives, we want to be moving forward. We want to be making progress. And listen, surely it should be the same when it comes to our spiritual progress. Are we moving forward? Are we moving forward individually? You know, let's be honest about it. It's easy to come to God's house and sing, "More about Jesus would I know." But have we actually learnt more about Jesus? Have we actually made progress spiritually compared with what we were 6 months ago, a year ago? What about a congregation? Have we made progress as a congregation? Take one thing as a marker. One of our chief roles as a congregation is the Great Commission, to reach the lost for Jesus. Are we reaching more people now than we were last year? Are we reaching more people now than we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Are we making progress? Or are we sitting stagnant? Or are we even slipping back? If you look at chapter 10, you will see that Samuel identified for Saul many things that he needed to do if he was going to make progress. In the verse 3, he showed him that making progress would involve him associating himself with those that were going to the house of God. He also showed him that making progress would involve him personally holding in his hands the elements of the sacrifice. Making progress would involve him becoming actively involved with those that were involved in the work of God. Look there at verse 5, the company of men coming down from the city. And these are men that have been at worship. These are men that are prophesying. These are men that are spreading the word. And Samuel is saying to Saul, listen, if you're going to go forward, it's going to involve you getting associated with them, becoming part of them. There's many other things in those verses that were involved in moving forward. But what I want to leave with you in closing is this. The key thing that was involved in Saul making progress, the key thing that was involved in Saul moving forward, is seen in verse number 6. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man." Saul was being told that if he was going to move forward in the role that God had given him, the big secret was this: he was going to have to allow the Spirit to take control of his life and for his life to be changed and controlled by the Spirit. Listen, the application to us is so simple. If we're going to move forward spiritually, as individuals and also as an assembly of God's people, there's many elements. There's many aspects to it, but the biggest secret of moving forward is allowing ourselves to be taken and to be used by God's Spirit. Someone has put it like this. They said the question is not how much of God's Spirit do we have, because when we got saved, we got all of it there was to get. But the question is, how much of us does God's Spirit have? I did something this week, and I would encourage you to do it yourself. If you start at Acts and read through Acts and Romans, or if you buy a concordance and look at the references to the Spirit, look at how much the Spirit is talked about in the letters of Paul. In Acts, the Spirit was directing them to different mission fields. In Acts chapter 16, the Spirit on occasions was forbidding them from going places. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, I pray with the Spirit. He also says, I sing with the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says the Spirit changes him. Ephesians 2 and 18, the Spirit gives him access into the presence of God. Philippians 1 and 17, the Spirit helps him to stand. Philippians 3 and 3, the Spirit helps him to worship. Ephesians 3 and 16, the Spirit gives him strength. Galatians chapter 5, the Spirit produces fruit in his life. Child of God, when you think about it that way, when you think of all that Paul thought was so important for the Spirit to do in his life, surely it's imperative for you and I to re-examine how much of our lives the Spirit really has control of, how much he governs our day-to-day living. When you go into the chapters that follow, you will read a very sad story. Saul had it all. Every potential to be one of the greatest kings. And yet he threw it away. Why? Because he didn't allow himself to be led by the Spirit. He allowed himself to be led by his own thoughts and ideas. In verse 7, we haven't time to look at it. He was told by Samuel that he was to be patient, he was to wait, and Saul rushed ahead. Not only did he ignore the Spirit, but he disobeyed the word that he had heard. It's not what we have heard this morning that's going to make the difference. It's what we do with it that's going to make the difference. And so I'm asking you as we close, where are we with God? Maybe there was a time in our life and a day gone by when we could say, the Spirit has control of my life, but maybe those days have slipped. Maybe it's time to stop and to give the Spirit control again. If we do that, we'll move forward as individuals, as a congregation. In a moment, Lynn is going to come and she's going to sing a piece to us. I want us to use the words of that as a prayer. And then when she's finished, we'll all stand to sing. And we'll use the words of that as a prayer as well. Let us do business with God here this morning. Let us take the time. I know we normally leave during the singing of the second verse, those that aren't staying for the table. But maybe we'll change that this morning because this business needs to be done with God here this morning. We don't want to be focused on the people who are walking out through the door or thinking about the wind that's blowing in when the doors are open. We want to be thinking upon the words that we're singing and whether or not we need to imply them in our lives. Lynn, thank you.